I will say that's also where like I felt judgment from that group of friends, where they were like, that's so dumb. Like, all you do is like post photos or like post videos and then you get like whatever from it. Like, you get free stuff. My old apartment mates saw me as like spoiled. I think I was really hurt by that, and I talked about that online. And basically, I think the TLDR was like, my dad takes care of me and provides for me in ways to make me feel like taken care of, so that when another guy comes into my life, that's a standard for everything else.
Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we showcase the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be. I'm Taryn.
And I'm Sophia. Thank you so much for being here. Every Sunday, we release a new episode and show you the power of one more perspective. We cover perspectives in career, relationships, family, wellness, just to name a few. Today, we are going to have a little confidence and self-love 101. I recently started posting on our Bamboo and Glass TikTok, and I was very intimidated to do that. So it's been quite a journey for me. And I've learned a lot about building community and building confidence on a new platform. You know, even though we've been creating content for 5 years on a podcast, it's very different jumping over to TikTok. So today we invited one of our favorite creators, Sharon. Hello, I'm Sharon on TikTok, to take a peek into her content creation adventures. And that goes really well hand in hand with her self-love and confidence journey. So welcome, Sharon. We are so excited to have you. So to start off, you are very well known for your K-Town Rex. And I often go to LA to visit Pan. So next time I'm there, what is a food spot that I have to check out?
Oh, I mean, that depends. What are you craving right now?
Craving like late night, like really satisfying late night snack food.
I really like, I like pulcha food. Oh. So maybe try Go Pulcha.
Okay.
Or if you want to go a little bit outside of K-Town and like escape the hubbub, I recommend Yangban Society. It's like a couple that started it, and you see like the New York and LA influence and the Jewish influence as well. And it's very well done.
Wow. I haven't been to any of those spots. So
I'll have to go.
Yeah. I'll have to go and then save one for Sophia when she comes next time.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Well, like we mentioned earlier, we're so excited to have you, Sharon. Not only are you known for your fire recommendations in LA, you're also known for your hot takes on media, on dating, and your dad's loving advice that he's given you around success and dating as well, which everyone can go see for themselves through your TikTok. And so I kind of want to start from the beginning of your TikTok content creation journey. I know maybe it's been like a couple of years that you've began, but can you kind of set the scene for us and walk us through what led you to gain the confidence to post content on TikTok?
I don't know. You've probably heard this before, like quarantine, I have nothing to do. And I think I was just going through like a weird period of time where I was like, you know, I'm in grad school right now, because I was going to go to law school, but then after I took the LSATs and everything, I was like, I don't want to go to law school, because like I had just came back from like a grandparent's funeral in Korea. And I was like, what is the meaning of life? Because I think everything was just very like, and then on top of that, COVID. So I'm just like, everyone's dying. And then on top of that, I'm having like a quarter life crisis where I'm like, I don't want to go pay for like, you know, online school to be taught the law, you know, because I think like, I was just kind of like, this is not my dream, you know? And I kind of thought long and hard, and I was like, I know I want to stay in LA, and I know I want to do something around like food and maybe media, or maybe something about like my Korean heritage in some way. I just don't know what that looks like. So I'm in that weird mindset, right? And like in my room, in my apartment, I was also going through some like apartment stuff where I was like growing a lot of growing pains, you know? I think I was like moving on from like that friend group that I lived with, and I was just kind of like, who am I? What do I want to do? I'm just going through like a second puberty, I think. And I start talking on my phone about, just random shit about like, I'm Korean American. I grew up in Tennessee, but I'm in LA. And here are some things that I can pick out that I think are weird or that I noticed as like an outsider with an insider's perspective, you know?
Was that your first TikTok that you ever made then about your Korean American identity coming from Memphis?
I think so. I think I did something really like a little anecdote and people were like, oh my gosh, you are from the South. That is so weird, you know? And I think they just wanted to hear more. And then that just kind of kicked off to like me talking about like my upbringing. And then it kind of went into like my thoughts on Koreatown, you know? So that just picked up along the way. And then here I am.
Yeah. How did your thoughts around law school change then as you started posting on TikTok? You probably were getting some engagement. Were you still interested in kind of pursuing that route at all? Or
I mean, I think my mindset was like law school is going to always be there, but this is picking up and this like momentum isn't always going to be there. So I was like, okay, like I think I would like kick myself in the ass if I didn't take advantage of this. There's something here that I should explore, and it's more, it felt more riveting or captivating than law school at the time. And I was really lucky that I was with friends and family that were supportive of me in that journey. So I was able to take that leap. But I mean, by that leap, I mean, like, instead of law school, I went to like grad school for like business and then like, you know, did something in food and beverage, you know? So it was like a pivot. It wasn't like a momentous leap into content creation. So yeah, no, I worked in like food and beverage for a little bit and then for K-beauty. And then, you know, I did like full-time content creation and now I'm critiquing food and TV shows and getting paid for it. So it's, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, it's kind of like the dream.
When you were first starting, did any of your other friends create content?
No, they didn't. So I think that's why I had a little weird, like, I was in a weird situation with my friends. Because if I'm being honest, like, I hate influencers. This is on the record. I hate y'all. No, I'm just kidding. But like, it's like a thing where it's like, I, you know, graduating from like UCLA, I think I had this idea of like, I'm in LA and there's like that influencer culture that's really cringe. You know, there's like that Instagram account, like influencers in the wild or like over in LA or, you know, like the cringy stuff of like, you know, the non-Los Angelino coming in and eating avocado toast and going on hikes. And they're like, this is LA culture. You know, that's cringe. Like, let's admit it, you know? And I think I had a bias against influencers going into content creation, you know? So the friends that I had before I was doing this, they weren't in that world, which I'm very grateful for because I think they grounded me and also they gave me a perspective on this that I wouldn't have had if I didn't have those friends. But I will say that's also where like I felt judgment from that group of friends where they were like, that's so dumb. Like all you do is like post photos or like post videos and then you get like whatever from it. Like you get free stuff or you get invited to events. And I'm like, and I, like to some point, like I understood where they're coming from because I used to be that person that had that thought, right? And then once you're in it, like you're like, there's so much work that goes into like creating content, planning the content, strategizing, you know, like doing these brand partnerships, negotiating rates, and all that stuff, you know. So it was complicated, but I'm glad that I came in from like that angle, you know. And also, right now, I don't really. I'm not, the end goal is not to be an influencer. And I cringe when people call me an influencer because I'm just like, I don't want to be that. Like, I want to be like a food critic. I want to be like, you know, a critic or a judge or a host or something like that. And I think that's where I'm kind of struggling right now because I'm like, the name of the game is like, you have to be called an influencer to get to that point, right? It's like a launch pad for that future opportunity. And I just don't want to be doing what like influencers are focusing on doing right now, but it feels like I have to do it to get to that point.
Like a means to an end almost. Like you have to you have to take on a title that people kind of judge you for, but you like you're not judging yourself. You know it's a real skill and it's hard.
Like sometimes I do judge myself, you know, and like I you know, but it's complicated, you know, because I get it from both points of view, you know. But I don't know how y'all feel about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm trying to kind of transport it back to 2019 when we started this podcast. And I remember being really scared to tell a lot of my friends because I, you know, wasn't known for creating content already. Like, I jumped on Instagram really late. Like, I think I made my account in 2016, actually. So really, really late. And so it felt... I went to Stanford, and so there were like college YouTubers and stuff, but even those people were kind of seen as being very vain and like less quote intellectual. And so that was something I really struggled with. And I think what made it easier for me was knowing that Sophia was like kind of from a similar background as me. Like, we both really value like thoughtful conversations and stuff. And I kind of knew that we would at least be grounded in that sense. But Sophia, I know you went to school in SoCal as well, and then you moved away from LA. So I'm kind of curious what your perception of content creation and influencers was when you were in school, and then like how that's changed over the years too, especially with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah, a lot of my friends, I went to a really small liberal arts college. And so a lot of my friends who were interested in media were more into like media theory, and not so much of like being on stage, being in front of the camera, but like writing about media or like kind of like working behind the scenes. So I think there was not so much judgment about working in media. I think everyone, it felt like an intellectual, safe, appropriate, a smart person way of interacting with media. So interestingly, like not that many of my friends were like made content. But I think part of the reason that podcasting feels so safe compared to TikTok is that I worry that if I were to make content on TikTok, people would think, oh, you're choosing TikTok because you want to go viral. Podcasts, no one goes viral for their podcast, right? So it feels like a more sincere, authentic, less cringy, I guess, form of content creation, which is why it's felt like safe for the last 5 years.
And also it's like longer form too. And so it is harder to make longer form viral content, longer form that people would be willing to go and listen to, like, you know, 45 minutes of versus a 10 minute YouTube video with a really flashy thumbnail and a really catchy title. And so I totally resonate with what you just shared.
That's crazy.
Sharon, now that you've met other creators, what do your friendships nowadays look like? Do you feel more supported? Do you feel like people understand where you're
coming from? That laugh, though.
I was literally just like venting to someone about like, I don't mean to sound like all like high and mighty of like, everyone knows who I am. So like, but like, no, it just makes it really hard to meet people because you're just like, what are your intentions with me? Like, are you trying to get something out of me? Like, are you trying to like get like, I don't know, clout? Are you trying to get like free PR? Are you trying to get like free food? Are you trying to like really be my friend? Or do you just want to say that you're friends with me just for the sake of like clout or whatever, you know? And also, I think there's also, I feel like I struggle with that now, but like in the past, I will say I struggle with my college friends who looked down upon influencing, and they wouldn't cheer me on, you know. They would act like that was like nothing. Like, I would be invited to like a really cool event and they would just like give me no reaction. Or I think they were just like, I think at one point one girl was like, I was like, oh, let's make a TikTok for fun, because it was like a Nicki Minaj like thing, and I was like, it'd be so fun, it's like a group activity, right? And like, I think her and her boyfriend were like, we don't want to make a stupid TikTok with you or whatever. And I was like, I know it's like a joke, but every joke has a little bit of truth. That William Shakespeare said that. William Shakespeare. But I think from that point on, like the no energy and like looking at influencing as stupid and then not giving me like my flowers when I deserve them, I was like, you know, there's people that I know deep down they want that too. And they're just like jealous of the fact that I have a platform to have a voice. And the thing is, like, I know that they're assuming that like I think that I'm better than them or I want to like win and take all the attention, but like there's always room for everyone to succeed. And just because I succeed or I have a voice doesn't mean you don't have a voice and you can't succeed. And I really wish they would believe that. But I think like we just in that moment, like we didn't know, but like looking back on it and like healing from it, I was like, oh, they were just going through that, you know, and I can't force someone to like think a certain way or to shift their mindset. That comes at their own time and pace. But like, yeah, like I would say like those friends kind of like, that's why I actually moved out here to live by myself. That's how I found community through like Koreatown, because my way of connecting to K-Town was like through my cultural heritage. Like I became proud to be Korean American through exploring Koreatown, because I would go to talk to the ajummas. I was like Korean food and Korean shit so cool. And the fact that I can share that and be someone's tour guide to grow even more educated and prouder of my culture was amazing, coming from like Memphis, Tennessee. And I think once I kind of was like searching for new community, I found that at Koreatown, because like Koreatown Run Club, you know, I'm training for the LA Marathon through them, and they're amazing. No one fucking cares what you do. Just show up and run, you know? And running is such a humbling thing to like where it's like, you're going to look disgusting and be out of breath while you're doing it, but at least you're like struggling together, you know? And there's so many creatives in that group that like understand like what I'm doing, and they kind of have like a different mindset. And that was so reassuring. And I guess like through TikTok, I met some like really close friends who I feel like my friends, I'm not to be biased, but they're like hot and smart and entertaining, you know, but like they like, I don't know, like my friends who are like the Mason twins, they went to like Dartmouth. They're fucking hot. They're smart. And like, you know, they like, I respect them, you know, and I feel like it's funny because like the TikTok algorithm gave me people that I would be interested in and they would be interested in me. So it was kind of like an app for finding friends unintentionally. Because the algorithm, if you think about it, like it works like where your interests just align, and then that's where you like show up. So I got to make some friends through that, and and then people who are just interested in like the food world like I am, to the point where it's like, no offense, I don't judge people who, actually I do, but like people who like it's like that clickbaity content where it's like they do like the mukbang or like the eating content where it's like, and I think there are some people who have food content where it's like clickbaity, you know? And I'm just like, where's the substance? Like, would Anthony Bourdain be proud of this shit? Would Jonathan Gold be proud of this shit? No. Would this win a Pulitzer Prize? Probably not, you know? So I think like I just like people who are intentional about what they create and put out there. So TLDR.
I love that. And I love, thank you for sharing about like the lessons you learned along the way when it came to like letting go of old friendships, like even moving out away from your friends, because I think there's a saying of like the joke, you mentioned like the joke always has like a sliver of truth, but there's also another saying that like whatever people's responses are more of a reflection of them than they are of you and like the content you do or whatever you're doing. What kind of mindset did you kind of like start to adopt or affirm as you were like, you know, creating content, you're getting feedback from like real life people, real life friends, as well as online commenters and stuff?
Yeah. What does your self-talk look like? What do you tell yourself?
I feel like I don't have enough shame. I think that's like the thing. Like my thing is, I think about it as like, you know, when you meet someone, for me, when I meet someone, I don't like it when they like trauma dump onto me, you know? And like, I like it when it's like natural or like it's very authentic. I hate that word that's used so many times like online, but like it's not forcing you to like them. I feel like I don't know how else to put it, but I try to be like, okay, like what are some things that I am genuinely interested in, like relationships, dating, because that's like fun to talk about, you know? And also with Korean food, or just like food as a vessel of like storytelling, like I love that shit. And I'm the go-to friend to like give recommendations for like dates, LA spots, whatever. So I feel like I just thought about what am I good at and what am I like really, really, really excited to talk about with people, and just like do that online, you know? And I think that's like the simplest thing, because if you think about like what can I do to make the most money? That's never going to make you a lot of money. Like, because you're thinking about the wrong approach. And also, I feel like the more like vulnerable you are, the more people can like really like attach themselves to you or, you know, like, I don't know. But
I'm curious, do you have an example of a time when you were a little bit more vulnerable than you had been online and then how that was received?
I am vulnerable when I, you know, share about what my dad's taught me because I'm just kind of like, I don't know if people are going to like this. Like, this is like mushy gushy or whatever. But I don't know. Like, he would talk about, like, for example, I remember a lot of people call me like high maintenance or like very like, you know, I'm very particular. And I think I didn't want to be seen as spoiled online when I talk about that story. Right. And I think I was like, how am I going to share this? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say everything that my dad said. And then like, if people don't want to listen to the entire thing, then they're not giving me a chance to like really say my truth or whatever. But I talked about like, I used to get mad at my dad because he would like spoil me with like, you know, getting me like whatever I wanted to eat or like, you know, taking care of me or like whatever. And a lot of people, like my old apartment mates, saw me as like spoiled. And I think I was really hurt by that. And I talked about that online. And basically, I think that TLDR was like, my dad takes care of me and provides for me in ways to make me feel like taken care of so that when another guy comes into my life, that's a standard for everything else. A guy can't impress me with like his stupid minimum car. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like he buys a fucking table. Okay. Like what's like that going to do, you know, or like just stuff like that. So I think, you know, like my dad likes to spoil me with like surprising my mom and I with like jewelry. Cause we have a family friend who has a jewelry shop, you know? So it's like him supporting a family friend, but also like, you know, providing for like me, like the girls in his life. So I think those are like little things that I used to feel so guilty about talking to my friends. And then I realized like the bigger meaning behind it of like, oh no, don't look at it as like you're spoiled rotten, but like, look, my dad is like literally setting the standard so that no guy can like, no scrub can be like, hey, here's like this like bottle of like wine or like, hey, here's some flowers. Like, you know, like it's like, okay, like, and what, you know? So I think like, I don't know, like that's something that I would have been very scared to share online because I know like people can see it as like, you are just still a princess, like blah, 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 you know? But because I was vulnerable enough to share like the story and just like what was going through my head, that kind of helped a lot of people like be like drawn to me, I would say. And I was like, whoa. That's cool.
Actually, recently on Bamboo and Glass TikTok, I posted a pretty kind of controversial story. It was about, I won't really go into what it was about, but it was a story about like relationships, love, having kids, etc. And it was the first video that I had where people had like negative comments. And at first I was so freaked out, right? Never happened to me before. And then I realized like a lot of people who had been following me and who agreed with my perspective were like jumping in and like almost representing me and like defending me or like speaking on my behalf in like a really positive way. And it ended up being sort of like a bonding moment for the people who had followed me. And it was actually kind of a cool moment for the people who were following me. And so that totally changed my perspective on posting something a little bit more vulnerable or different. So yeah.
That's cool. No, honestly, I feel like it's just, I don't know. I wish people were like not afraid to like make mistakes publicly, if that makes sense. Well, I mean, like there's an extent. I mean, I'm not just saying this to like excuse anything, but I think to really see a person, you have to give them room to like make a mistake and maybe learn from it. And you can't, I don't know, like that's, it's like the why people think nature is so beautiful because it's imperfect. And in a similar sense, that's like humans too. Like we're so perfect because we're imperfect in a sense.
Yeah. Speaking of mistakes, has there ever been feedback on TikToks or content that you've created that's kind of given you a little bit of pause of like, ooh, like maybe I shouldn't go that route or maybe I need to reevaluate a couple of things with my content creation?
Yeah, I mean, I think like when I make dating content, a lot of guys are like, no, you're just like a cat lady or whatever. I'm just like, I'm like, okay, like you're ugly.
I guess in a way that kind of negative comment is so far-fetched that all I can really do is laugh at that. Like, kind of like, no, what?
No. And I'm just like, okay, like, you know, mm-hmm. But like, I guess like for other types of negative comments, I got canceled like very early on from my like TikTok career, I guess. I think I'm in, okay, I'm sarcastic. I have dry deadpan humor, kind of like Aubrey Plaza. She's my inspiration for a lot of things, but people just don't get my sense of humor because they're fucking idiots, but I'm just kidding. But like literally
you couldn't tell from her voice she's kidding.
Yeah, like I was just like, why would I say I like avocado toast and iced coffee, you know what I mean? Like I'm just kind of like, I'm offended that you thought I liked it, you know. But I think like I was like, oh, like LA culture is about like talking about your like past hookup on Runyon Canyon, or like I tried making it like stereotypical LA, you know, and then people are like, you are a Barbie gentrifier. And then this like lady led this like whole like movement against me, and I was just like, Barbie, she called me pretty. but then I have like death threats who are like, go back to Idaho, and I was like, it's Tennessee. What? But like, thank you. But yeah, I don't know, if you apply that same logic to like immigrants here, it's like telling my parents to go back to their country when they came here for opportunity. And that's like the same for me too. Like, yeah. I get it. And as like a, like as a non Los Angelino, Los Angelino, like I see where the anger is. I see like where everything is, but like at the same time, like there's two sides of like the coin. And I think that made me a little cautious about like talking about LA. Cause I think I was like, okay, I need to be more cautious about like, you know, how the humor hits, and also like what is the intention of this. And you have to punch up always. You can't be punching down on people. And I think that felt that way because I was making fun and like glorifying those like gentrifier like activities, you know, as like a non-Los Angelino. So I think like that was like good feedback, because I will say I can't be like, that's dumb and I'm just gonna continue what I do, because no, that's like, that's so shitty. But I think my thing was like, okay, how can I like, I gave myself like a week or two to be sad about it, because I was getting like a lot of death threats, and that was like when I was like 10K or under, and I was just like, oh my god, like I don't want to die, or like these people are so mean, you know. I had to block like so many people because like they kept commenting on all my videos like, go back where you came from, and I'm just like, you know, like I feel like this is okay. You know, it felt very Trumpy, but yeah, but I took that as a good life lesson of like, yeah, like what I just said, punch upwards, and also be conscious of like what you're like, what kind of message are you trying to say, and how can that be implied? Because that's so important, you know. Even though my intent was good, delivery is also so important, like especially online as well. And I've just been trying to be more conscious about it. But I think honestly, I was a little insecure about the fact that I was not from Los Angeles and I was commenting on Koreatown. So I think for a while I was really cautious and I wouldn't answer questions about it. But now I'm like, I'm pretty confident, because it's like, I can't change where I was born, but like I'm, you know, I'm very grateful that Koreatown has like accepted me with open arms into its community. And I honestly believe that Koreatown's like raised me to become like very proud to be Korean American. And I wouldn't be who I am without like Koreatown in many ways. And I, you know, like it's, I just try to make sure my actions also show that I care about Koreatown too, you know, because it's like, I can eat and party here, but like, what the fuck am I doing if I don't like give back to a community, you know? Like there's so many initiatives where people can be involved, like KYCC, also bicycle meals. And like, we deliver like meals to, homeless folks around the city. And we just like, you know, deliver leftover foods from like a temple and stuff. But I, you know, it's just like little things like that where it's like, don't just, my mentality is like, don't just take the good from the community. You have to give back if you really love the community too, you know, like, you know, but I don't know where I'm going with the change on that, but that was like what I learned from, basically me being canceled, when I was like 10K or under followers and now. So yeah, it's, I'm grateful it happened to me back then, because if I'm being honest, I would have just been so careless about so many things, and I wouldn't have like that life lesson, because That stuff's so important, especially in media, like your tone and delivery.
Yeah. And you reach a lot of people. So a lot of people could interpret things the wrong way and be,
I feel like there's all sorts of personalities on the internet that you may never meet in real life. And so it is always, it can be easy to take it personally if it's like your first exposure to people that you don't personally know. But then I'm sure eventually it's like realizing, like, again, everyone's responses is a reflection of themselves and like maybe their life story and their experiences. And there's no way for you to be able to accommodate all of those different perspectives, nor should you have to accommodate to all those perspectives.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think the other thing is like they're always going to be upset at you for something, something. So you might as well do your very best and just be headstrong with like your, you know, message that you want to share with people.
And that's part one of our conversation with Sharon Lee, also known as Hello, I'm Sharon on TikTok. You'll definitely want to tune in for part two next Sunday, where we dive a little bit deeper into Sharon's confidence and self-love journey and shares a little bit more about how TikTok has affected her dating life as well as her relationship with her family. And so I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to give us a follow on Instagram and on TikTok. And if you have any feedback or questions or want to discuss any part of the episode, we're available on all of the platforms and also over email at bambooandglass@gmail.com. And with that, I hope you have a great rest of your week and we'll talk to you next time.